Let's read together Exodus chapter 10. In this chapter, we have the eighth and ninth plagues on Egypt, the plague of locusts and the plague of darkness. Let's begin by reading about the eighth plague in verses 1 through 20. Exodus chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said to them, "Go serve the Lord your God." "Who are the ones that are going?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." And he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them, for they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Once again, let's consider a few background notes. Twice in the verses that we just read, we have that familiar phrase, "the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart," both in verse 1 and in verse 20. Now, the point to remember here is not that God took away Pharaoh's free will. No, God simply confirmed what Pharaoh had already chosen to do. Pharaoh chose to harden his own heart, a phrase that we also read many times in the account of the plagues. And God confirmed Pharaoh's choice. You know, the same could be said of a person today. If you choose to harden your heart against God, God will confirm your choice and harden your heart until you cannot repent. In other words, you cannot repent because you will not repent. Admittedly, the doctrines of divine sovereignty and human responsibility are beyond our finite comprehension to fully grasp and harmonize, but they are not in logical contradiction to one another. Both are true. In the eighth plague of locusts, every remnant of vegetation that had been left after the hailstorm of the seventh plague was now totally consumed. This locust plague was the worst that Egypt had ever seen in her history as a nation. Egypt was not only economically ruined, But now she entered survival mode. And yet Pharaoh still refused to let the children of Israel go. And this is even after Pharaoh's servants had tried to talk sense to him. Look again at verse 7. But Pharaoh would not listen. Now Pharaoh tried another tactic to get Moses and the children of Israel to compromise in their request. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for Exodus chapter 10. Doctrinal point number one, compromise in the area of family is a tactic of the enemy. Compromise in the area of family is a tactic of the enemy. Verse 11, once again. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. This is the third tactic that the enemy Pharaoh used to get the people to stay in Egypt. Now, for the sake of time, I'm reading segments from something I wrote some years ago on this subject entitled Living Sacrifice. Quote, Pharaoh tried four different tactics to keep the people from leaving Egypt and sacrificing to the Lord their God. Satan uses the same four tactics today to dissuade Christians from their offer of themselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 25, Pharaoh says, go sacrifice to your God in the land. The devil approves of sacrifice as long as it is in the land of Egypt. Egypt represents the world. This is where the enemy is king. Satan is king even in the religious world. He encourages religion. True Christianity is not religion, but a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In Exodus 8, verse 28, the second tactic of Pharaoh is employed. I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Exodus 8, 28. If Satan cannot keep us in the land, he will try and keep us close to it. Here all the deceptions of the enemy are readily available to suck us back in and destroy our testimony. A borderline Christian is not a living sacrifice. A student who fellowships and prays with Christians one night, but parties with the world the next, is not a holy and acceptable sacrifice. The third tactic, which Pharaoh used in his attempt to get the people of God to compromise, is found in Exodus chapter 10, verse 11. Go now, you that are men. That is, the men can go sacrifice, but leave the family behind. Pharaoh knew that if he held on to the wife and kids, Dad wouldn't be able to serve the Lord very efficiently for long. If Satan cannot get us personally to stay in his territory, his strategy is to get us tied in by our closest relationships. End of quote. Many Christians have fallen short of all that they could do for the Lord because of compromise in the area of family relationships and family connections. Compromise in the area of family is a tactic of the enemy. Doctrinal point number two. Compromise in the area of possessions is a tactic of the enemy. Compromise in the area of possessions is a tactic of the enemy. Let's read about the ninth plague in verses 21 through 29. Exodus chapter 10, beginning now at verse 21. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me, take heed to yourself, and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. What does it mean in verse 21 that this plague was a darkness that could be felt? it either means very dark or darkness combined with a devastating sandstorm. In any case, quite a miracle is involved in this plague, because we read in verse 23 that the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. This plague was obviously not a natural solar eclipse. This plague was directed against one of Egypt's chief deities, Ra, the sun god. Now notice Pharaoh's fourth tactic in verse 24. Once again, I'm reading from the devotional entitled Living Sacrifice. Quote, Exodus 10:24 gives us Pharaoh's final attempt to keep God's people from total commitment. Go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be detained. How subtle. Leave your livelihood in Egypt. Satan knows that if our careers and other interests and things are left in his realm, he still has some control. We may think that we are strong and separated Christians, but if one of our deepest motives is to get ahead in this world on its terms, then our flocks and herds are still in Egypt. There is only one answer. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Verse 26. Leaving Egypt completely in total commitment as a living sacrifice raises some nitty-gritty questions that we must ask ourselves. Am I planning my career to get me ahead in this life? Or have I presented it as part of my living sacrifice to the Lord? Are my guitar and room or home and car used to serve the Lord? Or are they hoofs still holding me in Egypt? Until the flocks and herds leave Egypt, there can be no sacrifice. Until then, Christian service is only song and talk. End of quote. Compromise in the area of possessions is a tactic of the enemy. Now, you can read this whole devotional entitled Living Sacrifice on our website, www.growingchristians.org. What about practical application from Exodus chapter 10? Don't forget to tell your grandchildren. Don't forget to tell your grandchildren. In verse 2, we see another reason for the plagues on Egypt. That you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. The children of Israel were to tell their children and their grandchildren about how the Lord overpowered the Egyptians. And the pagan Egyptian gods were overpowered in order to deliver God's people out from bondage in Egypt. We need to do the same. Don't forget to tell your children and grandchildren of the wonderful works of God that he has accomplished in overpowering the enemy and delivering his own people. Now, many of you here today are believers because of the faithful witness of your parents and grandparents. And now you, as parents and grandparents, have a responsibility to carry on this great testimony of the Lord's wonderful works throughout human history, in the Bible stories, and in your own lives. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Psalm 145, verse 4. Don't forget to tell your grandchildren.